What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. With me in the studio is Troublemaker-in-Chief.
That's what it says on my business card, right?
That's right. Mark Garrison, the news director here at WBT, who found himself sort of at the center of a story that you covered yesterday.
Yep.
We played the audio, almost all of it, yesterday. And so apparently I may have gotten you in trouble because I ran my mouth too long and I did not play the last like 20 seconds of your interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson. So this story, you appeared yesterday with Brett Winterbull on his show.
Yeah.
Somebody grabbed audio, as far as I can tell, this is how it happened. Somebody grabbed audio of that appearance where you were playing the audio, a snippet from the interview.
Yeah.
Brett reacted, you reacted. That then got picked up. Fox News picked it up. Daily Caller picked it up. It started spreading all over the place. Yeah. So you've got some live hits, I understand. You're going to be – are you still a go for Laura Ingraham?
As far as I know, so I've been asked to be on Laura Ingraham's show tonight to talk about it on Fox. So
what time is that, 9?
It's in the 7 o'clock hour.
7 o'clock hour?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I got to keep you up too late then.
That's right. Exactly. Because I have to be back here early tomorrow.
That's right. All right. So – first off, let me start with how this happened, just sort of the mechanics of it. The White House reached out to WBT or
to
you specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me specifically, asking if I would be interested in interviewing Corinne Jean-Pierre because she wanted to talk about the president's visit to Raleigh yesterday.
Right, and President Biden showed up with Vice President Harris, fundraiser, did a speech talking about abortion, I believe, right?
That was primarily abortion and the Obamacare.
And Obamacare's anniversary, right? 14 years, which we celebrated a very, very festive atmosphere here in the studio on Monday
cake,
for that one. Yeah, yeah. All right. So they reached out to you. And is it your understanding that they reached out to you because you're the news director of WBT? Was it reaching out to the station and you just happened to be the guy? Or was it like, hey, we know Mark. We got your contact info somehow or another, so you're the guy we want to talk to?
To be honest, I'm not sure. My assumption was that they probably had a list with my name as the news director on there, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been in the Charlotte and North Carolina media for over 30 years now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're on a lot of people's lists. All right. Okay. So they reach out to you. They jump on the phone, and they had Let me skip ahead because the end of this article at the Fox News write-up, Fox News Digital, they then get a comment from the White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates. And I don't know if you know who Andrew Bates is.
I've heard the name, but I don't really
Well, he's
know
an NC State guy.
Oh.
Yeah, he used to work for Brad Miller's office, Congressman Brad Miller.
Oh, okay.
Now he's at the White House, and he says to Fox News, quote, "As she often does when the president travels, Corinne had multiple back-to-back interviews with radio stations who were each offered 7 minutes." Was that your understanding?
When I was offered the day before, when they asked if I was interested, they just said, you can talk to her between 5 and 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so they gave you a window between 5 and 10, which, I mean, not to give away a trick of the trade, but that's like, that's a guarantee for like 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Because you always try to stretch people.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly right.
You tell me between 5 and 10 that you're telling me 10.
That's right.
And I'm going to try to push for longer.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So this is not correct then. When he says that radio stations were each offered 7 minutes, you were not offered 7 minutes.
No, no.
You were offered between 5 and 10.
That's what they said. Yeah.
Okay. So there is lie number one from the White House. Once the agreed-upon time was over, she called into the next interview so everybody could get their full time.
Yeah.
Was there an agreed-upon time that this was supposed to be over by?
No. Okay. No, we did not have that going.
So your clock started running when she called in you obviously, because we've got the audio, you obviously were rolling tape before the call came in.
Specifically what happened was I called her. I was supposed to start with her at 10 after 9 yesterday. I called a couple of minutes early, and it went to voicemail, to the number I was given. And so then I called my contact there who had set it up, and she said, oh, she'll be with you shortly. She'll call you. And she did. Almost instantly, I got a call. Now, someone else was on the line saying, she'll be with you in a moment, and then
handed the phone over.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. So there wasn't a particular out time, like, okay, you know, 9:04, you got to be done. We're done. Okay.
No.
So.
And I've done interviews like that where they go, look, you got to be done by 9:15, but that was not the case. No.
Right. All right. So if I was being less than charitable, I would say line number two, but I will not. All right. Finally, the last sentence here, and this is what chaps me. Okay.
Yeah.
This particular station, so he's taking a cue from the Charlotte Observer, I think, refusing to name
WBT,
us by the call letters,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. This particular station chose not to air the full interview and instead artificially attached a sound effect that our phones do not make when calls end.
Well, to quote Jean-Pierre, I'm highly offended by that. No, we didn't add a sound effect. She just said, I hope you have a wonderful day, and hung up, and that was the noise that was made.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually looked this up because I started wondering, how old is this guy, Andrew Bates? Because he may not be aware that phones make a sound when you hang them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like back in our day, they even made a sound if it was busy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it did make the sound, because that was one of the first things I asked you, was like, did you throw in this audio clip or whatever?
Right. Yeah.
And you said no. Okay, so that is line number three or two, depending on if you're counting the second one there. So that's not true. So they're lying about a member of the Fourth Estate.
Essentially, yeah.
Right. I mean, you are the equivalent of those who stormed the beaches of Normandy, as I understand it, from Democrats talking about the media during Trump's tenure. So I can't believe that they would be attacking a member of the journalism corps as they have you here, because they said that you have inserted this audio in order to, I guess, make it seem like she hung up on you. But she did.
But she did. She clearly hung up on me.
Right. And now you can say that she didn't mean anything by it. She's just out of time. But
I'll be honest with you. It didn't feel that way to me because she clearly did not like really any of the questions that I asked.
Right. So. No.
But if you want to give her the benefit of the doubt and somebody was giving her a wrap it up sign there, okay, maybe. But she could have said,
bye.
I've got to go. Thank you for having me. Instead of, I hope you have a great day, click.
Yeah, amazing. Have an amazing.
Amazing day.
Amazing day.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm not sure, did she mean to say amazing, amazing day or amazing, amazing day? Which I'm not sure, like, do you do mazes as a hobby? Like that kind of a thing she knows about you? I'm not sure. But it also, maybe she's watched a lot of television and movies. They never say goodbye on the phone,
true.
On their phone calls. I've noticed this with TV shows for years. They just hang up on each other all the time. Maybe that's where, I don't know. Also, he says that this particular station chose not to air the full interview, which, okay, this is totally on me, so I apologize, because I played almost the entire clip yesterday.
Well, and so people understand, my intention in the interview was twofold. One, we were, as they say in the business, rolling to get sound bites for our newscast.
Right.
And then we were going to provide the entire interview to you guys on the talk side to use as you will and post on our website, which we have.
Yeah.
So that was the intention from the start with.
And that, and I said, and when we talked about this yesterday, I said, hey, because I heard the news story, and I said, can I get the audio of the interview?
Exactly.
And you offered, do you want like an edited soundbite version? I said, no, I want the whole thing.
You said,
give me the whole raw tape.
Yep.
Because
which we did.
Me being a former news guy myself, like, I want to hear the whole interview.
Yeah.
And when you listen to, and it's not very long, it ran like 6 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Which, if that's the case, then I didn't get all my time anyway if I was only supposed to get 7.
Oh, that's true. So they, line number four, all right, so can you stick around for another segment?
Sure.
I want to ask you about your process. No, I want to ask you about some of the questions that you did ask.
Sure.
And why you asked them. As far as I know, Mark, you're not going to be disciplined, as far as I know. Mark Garrison is the news director for WBT News here, and he had the interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre yesterday. Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. And you turn the story. She was promoting the fact that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are coming to North Carolina for a campaign fundraiser and rally. And the first question right out of the gate, you ask, hey, when I told people...
No, that was the second question.
Oh, second question.
The first question was, given the polling here in North Carolina with 70% overall and 45% of Democrats having some concern about Biden's mental state, how is he going to overcome that?
Right. Which is that's a fair question.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair question. I mean, it may be an uncomfortable or difficult question for them to answer, but being a highly trained and skilled spokesperson,
she can handle it.
She should be able to handle it.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, you spent all of your time as a PR flack toiling away in leftist organizations where you never get any difficult questions from a liberal media. But I digress. The point here is that you asked a fair question, which was, how are you going to overcome this obstacle? And that's a fairly standard kind of question, right? Then the second one, it was direct.
Yes, because she briefly addressed the issue in the first question, saying, well, you just need to look at him and see how busy, how active he is working for the American people. And then she went on she went off on her talking points, which...
Dare I call it a rabbit hole?
Yeah. Which, when you interview people like this, you know that's what they're going to do. They've got their talking points. They will always come back to them.
And they
got to
run out the clock. I mean, she knows she's got 6 or 7 minutes with you. So if I can tap dance.
The longer she talks, that's right, the less. So then she came to a pause and ended her first answer. And I said, I don't want to leave this yet because when I told people that I was going to talk to you, they all said, ask her, is the president suffering from dementia? So I asked her, and that's when she became upset. She said, she could not believe that I would ask that question, that it was highly offensive.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah, that's right.
I think this is it's a perfect illustration, though, of the disconnect, because that is, in fact, what most people are wondering.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk with people about Joe Biden, even people that like Joe Biden, voted for Joe Biden.
They're concerned about him.
Right.
Yeah.
They want to know, the stuff I'm seeing here, is there more to this? And here's the way that she could have put all of that to rest. She could have just said, of course he doesn't have dementia.
That's right.
But she didn't.
No, she didn't.
She attacked you. She called it insulting and an offensive question. Then you asked about the economy.
Yeah, because at the end of her answer to my second question, she said, so I've addressed this. I want to move on. And I said, fine, let's move on to the economy. Polls indicate, that people, their earning power is down. Gas prices are up. Grocery prices are up. How can he win on that?
Right. And she talked about how Joe Biden came from a working class family. He knows what it's like to be lunch pail Joe. He's done a whole bunch of great stuff. Vladimir Putin is the reason the gas prices are so, which is, that's the old talking point, that Putin price hike, I think, is what they were trying to brand this as.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Presidents, for good or bad, right, they get blamed or credited with the economy.
Yeah.
So that's the way that's going to go. But she didn't like it. She apparently ran through her talking points, but you got the sense she didn't like that question either from you?
No, because I mentioned eggs and groceries. And, well, she said eggs are the price of eggs are coming down. But I did get the sense that she didn't like that question either. And at the end of that one, that's when she said, have an awesome, awesome day, and just hung up.
Yeah. All right. So you can catch Mark. Maybe we expect him to still be on with Laura Ingraham tonight on Fox News. She wants to probably ask all of these same questions. So basically, I'm doing her show prep for her.
Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, I don't want to use the word hero, but Mark Garrison, WBT News Director, thank you for your time, sir.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for your work.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Let us, ham and tomato, go to the phone lines. Here is Chris. Welcome to the program. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Pete. I'll be quick. I just wanted to say that I'm assuming that interview yesterday was live on the air, because y'all would say so if it wasn't. Number two, I do believe she was offended because, of course, every spoiled brat leftist wants everything to go their way, and they're offended when they don't get it. But I still find it hard to believe that they expect people to believe that Mark had a sound effect of a dial tone ready to go because he just knew she was going to hang up and he was going to play that to add like an exclamation point to it. Sorry, I'm stumbling today.
No, that's all right. All right.
Anyway.
To be clear, the interview that I played, that I have the audio of, it was recorded live to tape, as we say. It was recorded. But the raw tape that I have, we did not air the interview live. Like, that interview did not occur as a live interview over the air. It was done in the newsroom on tape, but then I asked for the raw tape, and so Mark gave that to me, which is just, all that is just the, hey, I'm going to start recording all the way to the end, and then that's, you just take that chunk, and that's the raw tape. And that's what I was playing yesterday. Not like, sound bites or a condensed version of it. So, yeah, it wasn't.
Okay, I knew you said you were going to play the interview, but I thought that the interview was given live before that.
It was, okay. Right. It was like she did the interview with Mark live onto a recording. And then Mark took some sound bites from that interview, put it into a news story, but then I ran the full live to tape interview. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, Chris, I appreciate the call. And here's the thing to me. The idea that Mark would stick this audio, a soundbite of a dial tone, the wah, 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 whatever it is, at the very end of the phone call, the idea that he would do that as the White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates accuses him of doing, because he is accusing our news director of doctoring an audio recording in order to make the White House press secretary, his boss, look bad. That's the accusation from the White House, accusing a journalist of lying, right? Of sticking this soundbite in there, which he did not do. And I don't know if Andrew Bates is aware of that or not, that phones do make this sound when you hang up on people. He says This particular station chose not to air the full interview and instead artificially attached a sound effect that our phones do not make when calls end. Hey, idiot, your phone doesn't make that sound. Our phones do. We're on the other end. That's how phones work, Andy. We're on this side of the line. You're on the other side of the line. And so when you hang up your side of the line, it sends down an audio signal to us. I guess he's never been hung up on. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I don't know if that's something to be proud of or not. All right, but look, here's the thing to me. You thought that that's a better story to tell than your boss refusing to say that her boss doesn't suffer from dementia. Because the answer to the question that Mark Garrison asked, is Joe Biden suffering from dementia? That is a simple yes or no question. And if the answer is no, then anybody in Karine Jean-Pierre's position would say, no, of course not. What a silly question. That's so dumb. That's insulting. That's offensive. You could say all of that other stuff, but she never says no. She never says, of course not. That's absurd. But rather than talk about that, they lie about doctoring the audio, telling me that they would rather talk about that than talk about her inability to say, no, Joe Biden isn't suffering from dementia. It's a deflection, in other words. You are now going to attack Mark Garrison to get everybody to talk about whether or not he has been doctoring the audio and all of this, and then we're going to be mad that you accuse him of the of this journalistic malpractice because he asked a question that you couldn't answer or wouldn't answer, right? That's what happened here. She wouldn't answer no. She wouldn't simply say, of course Joe Biden doesn't have dementia. That to me is not only telling, but kind of terrifying, right? I've been saying this, I don't even know for how long now, probably 2 years, maybe. The guy's 80 years old, 81, whatever. I get it. He's 80 plus years old. He is going to be diminished in certain ways, in certain capacities. So everybody makes a big deal about the new shoes, the sneakers that he's wearing so he doesn't topple over and trip up the stairs. Okay, like I get it. He's over 80 years old. That's okay. But that is a different thing than his mental acuity. And when people say, oh, I have concerns about his age, it's not his age, it's his mental acuity. And when asked the direct question, is he suffering from dementia, and the White House press secretary cannot say no? That deserves a follow-up, folks. That deserves a couple follow-ups. And the answer, by the way, if you're the White House and you're listening, the answer should be no. It's a very simple answer. Just say no, and then you move on. Okay, good. All right, you said no. Now, unless, of course, you can't say no because you may have some other information, that's an entirely different thing altogether. I will play the entire audio of the entire interview because I left it about 20 seconds short yesterday, and I don't want to renege on any promise that anybody may have made to the White House that they were going to play all 7 minutes, which I don't even know who made that promise. You were talking to a news person. They got 30 seconds to tell a news story with a couple of sound bites. I don't know who promised you that the entire 7-minute interview was going to air, but I will make good on that because I'm a giver. I am a giver. That's what they say about me. All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen. But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. All right, I got the audio here from Mark Garrison's interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre in its entirety.
Hey there. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to having this conversation.
So North Carolina's a state in play for sure. Some of the latest numbers show 72% of voters here are really worried about the president's mental competence. And one poll last week said that was 46% of Democrats. How does the president overcome that?
Well, I would point everyone to the State of the Union, where the president gave an incredible speech about his vision for the American people. And he spoke for 75 minutes and laid out a powerful remarks on how he sees us moving forward with health care, lowering costs for health care, and how important that is to millions of Americans, including North Carolinians. And that's why he and the vice president are going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina, where they're looking forward to it, on talking about their vision to protect and strengthen the Affordable Care Act, for example, Medicaid, Medicare. They're going to discuss not just lowering health care costs, but also including prescription drugs. Let's not forget, there was a bill that was passed last year, well, back in 2022, in the Inflation Reduction Act, which only Democrats voted on. They were the only ones that supported this bill. And what it did, it allows Medicare for the first time to negotiate lowering costs, prescription drug costs. Imagine, Republicans voted not for this. They did not support this. Some voted against it. And so that's what the president is going to talk about. There's insulin costs. You have our seniors that are paying hundreds of dollars a month for insulin. The president was able to cap that at $35 a month. And we are really grateful to Governor Cooper, your governor's leadership on expanding Medicaid expansion, right?
She's
and
so bad
because
at this.
Of his leadership, now there's going to be more than 400,000 North Carolinians that's going to be able to receive the care that they need. And also Americans are saving on average $800 a year on premiums. So that matters. While Republicans are constantly showing the stark contrast on this, they're trying to repeal ACA, 50 attempts by Republicans to do that. They're trying to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act. As I just mentioned, it's going to lower costs for Americans. So they released, Republicans released their congressional Republican budget just last week, where they want to cut health care coverage for millions of Americans, drive prescription drug costs up.
Kill grandma.
There couldn't be a bigger contrast. There couldn't be a clearer vision by this president. And that's what I would say to Americans. You have a president that's fighting for you on lowering costs.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go to North Carolina today to talk about just that. And they should watch and hear what he says. And I think that's what matters. I think that's what Americans also want to see.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though, they all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is an incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
No. You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out very in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people, how historic his actions have been. He has done more on historic legislation, on domestic policy, on foreign policy than most presidents in this period of their presidency. He actually has done more in his first 3 years than most presidents have done in two terms. And so I'm not even going to truly take the premise of your question. I think incredibly insulting, and so we can move on to the next question. I feel like I've answered the question for you.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then, big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle class family, working class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember, when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in the tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. There was a climate crisis. There was other crises that we had to deal with. The president took action. He passed a legislation called the American Rescue Plan. Only Democrats voted for that, and because of that, he was able to reopen schools. He was able to put forth a comprehensive plan
to deal
with COVID. I mean, right now, people, we are in a different place with COVID, and that's because of what this president has been able to do. Look, now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget, Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas, and because the president took action, we see we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices and what Americans are seeing at the pump. That's because of this president. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, people have groceries that people have on their groceries list every week, those costs have gone down than where we were a year ago because of what this president has been able to do, because the president tried to do everything that he can on the supply chain, because the president put forth important legislation, historic legislation, that lowered costs, as I just mentioned, the Inflation Reduction Act. Let's not forget the jobs that he's created, millions of jobs, 15 million jobs that this president has created. 800,000 of those jobs are manufacturing jobs, jobs that are good union-paying jobs. Most of these jobs, you won't need a college education to have that job. That's because the president understands that in order to really build an economy that works for everyone, you can't leave anybody behind. You have to build an economy from the bottom up, middle out, and that has been the president's focus. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
And she hung up.
That was it. In its entirety, Caringe. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.